Father, we thank you so much that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And we're here together, Lord, in his presence and before you, Lord, just to look into your word for a little while and just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take up the things that we read and plant them and make them real in our hearts, that we may follow them in our lives from day to day. We ask for your name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, right. Okay. Sorry. Could we have the... Thank you. Thanks very much. Christ became so that we might become. Jesus, hallelujah, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God before all time, God from all eternity. That's Jesus, the mighty Son of God, who always was God, is God now, and always will be God. He has no beginning, he has no ending. He's alive forevermore. He came into the world at a certain moment in time, at exactly the right time, and he became flesh. Okay, we read it in verse 14. So I've just got a few things for us to look at together, and hope they'll bless you as they blessed me. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's a kind of permanent dwelling. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We heard that in a prayer just before the reading. Jesus came, and as people looked at him, they saw grace and truth. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't see power unleashed. They didn't see charisma. They didn't see a man with a halo. They saw grace and they saw truth. And Jesus has the grace to save us. Hallelujah. And he has the truth, or the power, we could call it the power of the truth, to transform our lives. His grace is his loving kindness extended to each and every one of us from his loving heart. From all eternity, God loved us before the world began. How about that? God always loved us. There never was a time when he didn't love us. We were in his heart before the world began. He knew our names before the world began. And here we are in the 21st century, and he knows our names today. Glory to his wonderful name. Our names are written in his wounds, written in the wounds of Jesus. How could God ever forget our names if they're written there? Wonderful. This is wonderful. Jesus revealed God. In just a bit further down, it says this: the law came through Moses, but again, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now, it's difficult for us to conceive of God because we've never seen him in his glory. There are little inklings in the scriptures of the glory of God. I just want to read one to you that blessed me when I read it. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think. 1 Timothy chapter 6. No, it's not. Okay. Anyway, I've got the reference somewhere down here and I can't see it. But never mind. Hallelujah. It says God dwells in unapproachable light. No, none of us can get near God in our human flesh because God's light is unapproachable. And he is a burning fire. And we'd just burn up if we got anywhere too close to him in our human flesh. But the wonder of Jesus Christ is that he came in human flesh to reveal God to us. Hallelujah. And he didn't come to reveal God wasn't the main reason. He didn't come for that reason mainly. His reason for coming was to save us from our sins. Amen. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, imagine it, Jesus full of glory, all the angels and archangels worshipping him. John, in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, he had a glimpse of who Jesus was. He said, this man who he walked and talked with and lived with for 3.5 years, and at the end of his very long life, John that is, he was about 90, he wrote, "In him was no sin." Live with somebody for 3.5 years and say there was no sin in him. Okay, Ruth lives with me and she knows that can't be said of me. Glory to God. But here was Jesus, a man without sin, a man without anger, a man without pride, a man without vanity, a man without any of the stuff that all of us have received from our forefathers in whatever measure we've received it. And Jesus was without all that because he came through into this world by an absolute miracle through a virgin called Mary, and God made a way through her, bless her name, that we could partake of his salvation. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came with a passion to save us. That was the main reason he came on the earth. He came with a purposeful intent. He came with this in mind: I am going to save you. And the way he had to do it was through blood. We read that in, I'm just going to read, this is Revelation 19 and verse 13. His name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19 and 13. He was clothed with a robe, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God came with his robe dipped in blood. In other words, Jesus came knowing that he would have to give his life as a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. In the Old Testament, there was a picture of Jesus that you can find in Lady Lever Art Gallery, in the picture by Holman Hunt, just down the road on the Wirral. And I would encourage you to go and have a look at that if you haven't already. Holman Hunt painted that picture, one in the Victorian era. And in Leviticus chapter 22, it talks about this type of the Lord Jesus that was given. Leviticus 22, there were two goats that were to be offered for the sin of the people on the Day of Atonement. There was a blood of a bull already offered, and the mercy seat above the ark that contained the word of God, the covenant, written on tables of stone, tablets of stone. The blood of a bull had already been sprinkled, and then a goat was killed and its blood was sprinkled. You'll find that in verse 15 of Leviticus 22. And then the other goat was to be brought, and Leviticus 16, 22. Sorry, I'm getting my numbers mixed up this morning. Please shout out if I've got the wrong number, won't you? Okay. Here we are. Leviticus. Aaron the high priest shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man or a fit man, proper man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, there are many types of Jesus in the Old Testament. The bull that was slain and its blood sprinkled, the goat that was slain and its blood sprinkled, the lambs that were slain in the morning and in the evening, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, they're all types of the Lord Jesus whose blood sprinkled the mercy seat for you and me. And this is another one. Not only did he sprinkle his blood on that mercy seat, the atoning blood that washes away the sin of mankind. Imagine that. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. the sin of the world, whole human race. This is what God did in Jesus. He died there for my sin. He died there for your sin. And he died for the whole human race. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Jesus did this for you and me, beloved. Isaiah speaks of the Lord, doesn't he? In that wonderful chapter, Isaiah 53. When he came, he was despised. He was rejected by man. But he bore our sins. He carried our sorrows or our sicknesses. He carried them in himself on the tree. And he carried out our healing there from the tree. For all humanity, our healing in forgiveness of sins, our healing in whatever way we need to be healed. In Mark chapter 2, we have that wonderful instance of where the Lord was in a house and they couldn't get at him because of the press. It wasn't the media outside, it was the too many people outside. That's the old AV version, isn't it? Anyway, there were so many people, and this poorly man, he had four good friends who really, really wanted him to meet the Lord. And if you have a friend who you really want to meet the Lord, join with two or three others to pray for that friend. And they took the roof off. The roofs were very flimsy things in those days, basically just branches with mud over the top. And anyway, they finally got him in front of Jesus. And there were religious people there. Jesus said, "Son, your sins be forgiven you," because he saw the faith that was in them all. It was in the sick man as well as in his friends. And Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And the religious people were there at the back ready to pick flies in whatever Jesus said. And they said, "Who can forgive sins but God?" Well, Jesus said, "Well, just to show you which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or get up and walk." He said to the sick man, "Get up and walk." And he got up and he walked. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, that's Jesus in action. And that same Jesus is the Jesus who comes to your life and my life, comes to wash us from our sins. Hallelujah. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you let Jesus wash your sins away? Have you come to Jesus simply as you are and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on that cross. Please wash my sins away. I give myself to you. Please come into my life and be my Saviour from sin from here on in." Have you ever done that? There has to be a day in every one of our lives, in each of our lives, when we simply come as sinners to Jesus and we say, "Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please come and wash my sins away. And come and be my Lord. Come and be my Saviour." Hallelujah. That happened to me when I was about 21 at university, and Jesus came into my life. And I remember the day when he washed my sins away as clear as a bell. And for the first time in my life, I felt free from guilt and shame. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just like being washed clean inside, but on the inside. And the place where I was living in Manchester, it was an old house and split up into rooms for students. And somehow there was a sparrow had got stuck in the room, had come in the room sometime and got stuck in the room. And I let that sparrow out and it flew away. And that was just like me. That was just like me. I was a bird set free. Hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Glory to his wonderful name. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? He's alive. He's here. And he's here to save us. And when we go back to John, we look at Christ became flesh for us, yeah? For what reason? Well, we read that in John chapter 1 as well, where John writes this. His own people, that is the Jews, rejected him. But for anybody who welcomed him, okay, received here is really welcome with open arms. But for as many as welcomed him, he gave the right or authority to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God's. Okay, Jesus became flesh so that we might become sons and daughters of the living God. Now that is not a small thing. That is not a small thing. What does it mean to be a son of God? What does it mean to know that you have an eternal destiny? What does it mean to know that when this life is over, there is a life with Jesus that goes on and on and on in one eternal day? What does it mean to have Jesus in your life today, so that there is always someone with you to help you in all your difficulties and trials and tribulations, and who you can turn to at any moment of the day or night and cry to him? And because you are a son, God hears his son in you crying out to him, and God answers your prayers. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4. Okay, we'll go to Galatians 3 first. Galatians chapter 3. Don't know if I had that. No, sorry. Something's happened to a slide there. Okay, Galatians chapter 3. Christ became that we might become. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, to my mind, you can't get lower than this. There's a depth to a curse that is the absolute lowest that anything can become. We lived in part of the world where curses are regarded as very powerful things. And people would hire certain shamans who are known to have a lot of power in the occult realm to go and put a curse on somebody who they hated so they could kill that person with the curse. And I could tell you stories, but I won't. But they believe in the power of those things. And it's a very deep kind of evil. Now, Christ never touched evil in that sense. He never dabbled in the occult. His life was full of pure power, pure purity, truthfulness, grace, hallelujah, gentleness. The occult is a very dark realm that drags people down into despair, misery, and all sorts of difficulties in life. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Hallelujah. What was the curse of the law? Deuteronomy chapter 21. We can read what this curse was. Deuteronomy 21. The curse that Christ became. These are amazing things. Jesus did this for you and for me. He did it because he loves us. And has loved us with an everlasting love. If a man, Deuteronomy 21:22, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. Jesus, okay. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, God wrote that law knowing that his own son would be hung on a tree when he was not deserving of death. Jesus had 7 unjust trials in one night. There were the trials by Annas, Caiaphas. There were the trials sent to Pilate, and Pilate sent him to Herod, and then Herod back to Pilate, and there were other things that went on in that night. And nobody could accuse Jesus of any wrongdoing whatsoever. No witnesses could be found who could agree on their witness that he should be put to death. But Jesus came, and gladly, our sin gladly bearing, we sang it earlier, our sin gladly bearing. Jesus came, he was totally undeserving of death, but in order that we might receive the blessing of God in our lives, that God promised to Abraham first of all, and then through Abraham to the nation of Israel, and through Israel it was to go to the whole world. The blessing of God that should come to the whole world. Hallelujah. Jesus was willing to be cursed for you and me. Glory to his wonderful name. He was willing to take that curse on himself. And the curse goes even further back, doesn't it? Do you remember when our forefathers had turned their backs on God, and the curse had come on the earth? The Lord said a deliverer would come who would trample on the neck of the serpent. Hallelujah. And the serpent would bruise his heel. He would suffer, but the serpent would be crushed. And Jesus, when he hung on the tree, he crushed the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. He crushed the head of the serpent. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Do you remember that wonderful verse that speaks of Jesus' triumph on the cross of Calvary? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And verse 14. Jesus, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That's all the times we've broken God's law, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Jesus took all those requirements of the law that stood against us, and he nailed them to his cross. And he said, Father, I will pay the price. I will pay their debts. I will pay their debt of sin to you, Lord, and to your broken law. Father, here am I. Behold me. And having disarmed principalities and powers, as he hung on that cross, Jesus shook them off. His arms were nailed to the tree, but he shook them off. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by the purity of his life, the devil had no accusation that could be nailed against Jesus. And he took the accusations nailed against us, and he bore them in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Hallelujah. Oh, it makes me so thrilled to think about Jesus doing this for me. He gave his life as a fragrant offering to God. He said, Lord, oh Father, I want to give myself to you. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. And Ephesians says this, Jesus gave himself on the tree as a fragrant offering to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he became so that we might become. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world to himself. When Jesus hung on the cross, in one sense he hung alone, because the Father's face was turned away. But at the same time, God was in Christ, reconciling you and me and the whole world to himself by his one offering for all time, for all generations, for all eternity. Hallelujah. Valid for all eternity. Think of that. Jesus' offering, valid for all eternity. It will never run out of date. It will never decay. His blood will never go rotten. Think of that. His blood will never go rotten. I can't say that in English. I'm only thinking in Thai here. Naupai. His blood will never go naupai. Now, this is a wonderful thing. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. 2 weeks ago, we were with 60 or 70 Thai believers in the UK who were worshipping God in Manchester. How about that? A few weeks before that, we were with a church in Leeds, where with an Eritrean church who were worshipping God full blast, I tell you. You'd love to be in their meeting. Honestly, the house was shaking, but it wasn't because of the prayers, it was the volume of the bass. But anyway, they were worshipping God full blast. Eritreans in Leeds. Hallelujah. In Liverpool, Iranians worshipping God in Liverpool. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus did. Hallelujah. He came for every single man and woman on the face of the earth, every tongue, tribe and nation, that we should all come to know God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does it make you want to shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Sorry, I get carried away sometimes. I know. Sorry. Okay, let's go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. How are we doing for time? Oh, we run out of time. Oh dear. Sorry. Okay, very briefly. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. He became poor so that we might become rich. Ah, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. The word in Greek is destitute. Jesus, the Lord of glory, creator of the whole earth. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's his because he made it. Right of ownership. If you read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, you'll see how the devil loves to kind of have a go at that one. But anyway, God made the world and everything in it. All right? Hallelujah. We can state that. That is our belief. God made the world and everything in it. And it's all his. The silver's his. The gold is his. Now, Jesus came down and lived as a poor man, as a carpenter, builder. He was a builder, basically, but he wasn't a kind of well-off, wealthy builder. He was just an ordinary guy, a regular guy, working as a builder in the daytime, and in harvest time he'd have been out in the fields. Jesus. Wow. Philippians 4. Jesus did that for you and me. Philippians 4. Now here's something Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's an amazing statement, because to learn that you don't learn that in 5 minutes, do you? To be content. Content with the weather, content with what you've got, content with what you haven't got, content with your situation in life, content with your opportunities, content with your possibilities. Or lack of possibilities. Paul had learned. Why? Because he said, I can face everything through Christ who strengthens me. He had someone in his life who strengthened him daily for the challenges of the day. And if we have Christ in our life, we have the same Saviour, the same Lord as Paul, that Paul had, living in us, who is able to mightily strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:19, by the resurrection life of Christ that is in us. The resurrection life of Christ is in us. Hallelujah. And that's the power that we live by, beloved. That's the power of God that can be released in your life and my life as we put our trust in Jesus. And learn in whatever state we're in to be content, but we're living there with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have Jesus in us. We have everything. If we have Jesus, we have everything. Here we are down in verse 18 and 19. Paul says, I received a fragrant offering from you. It's money. How about that? Fragrant offering. It's money. Oh. Sorry. Come back. Is the one there, Andrew, of the computer lab? If you could put that up while I just finish. Paul received their offerings. And God wants you and I to receive everything that Jesus has won for us. You know the old story. It's a lovely story. And if you haven't heard it, you'll love hearing it. There was a very rich man, and he had an only son. And he loved his son. And he got somebody to paint a portrait of his son when he was sort of early manhood. And it was a passable portrait, but it wasn't a Vermeer, it wasn't a Rembrandt or anything like that. So it was just a passable portrait that you find in a charity shop. Anyway, the son went away to war and never came back. And the old man was heartbroken. But he had a housekeeper who loved him and who loved the son as well. Been with them many, many years. And anyway, the time came when the house and all its contents had to be sold at auction. Don't know how that was arranged. I don't have the details. But anyway, the day of the auction came, and loads of people came because the old man was a collector of valuable items. He was a connoisseur, loved antiques, had lots of stuff in his house that people wanted to snap up at the auction. Flog it or whatever. Anyway, they all came. But the first item in the auction, the auctioneer said, the first item is a portrait of the former owner's son who was killed in the war, what am I bid for this? And nobody bid for it. And it was quiet, and well, the housekeeper, she was a shy lady, and she eventually raised a trembling hand and she said, I'll give you £2 for it, because that was all she had, but it was the whole of her money. I'll give you £2. And other people just sort of laughed and kind of looked at each other and smirked and said, oh, don't worry, get on with the auction, they shouted to the man with the gavel. So anyway, going once, going twice, bang went the gavel, and the old lady got the portrait of the son. And then the auctioneer said to the assembled people, the auction is over. Because whoever, by order of the former owner, whoever gets the portrait of the son gets all the contents of the house. Okay, you get the picture. Jesus, the Son, has given us the contents of his house, and he wants us to make use of them. Bless his wonderful name. Jesus became flesh so that we could become sons of God, mature sons of God, as dear Fred once preached, and I've never forgotten that word he said. Yeah, thank you, Matt. Sorry, I've gone there. Bless you. Thanks. Over to you.